नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 39. दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंट्रोडक्शन. देहे चत्वमापन्ने देही कर्मानुगो वशः देहांतरम अनुप्राप्य प्राक्तनम त्यजते वपुः. ट्रांसलेशन एंड purport बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद. व्हेन द प्रेजेंट बॉडी टर्न्स टू डस्ट and is again reduced to 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether, the proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body of material elements according to his fruitive activities. When the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body. Purport. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, which presents the beginning of spiritual understanding. Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara tata dehantara praptir dhirastatar namuyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. A person or an animal is not the material body. Rather, the material body is the covering of the living being. Bhagavad Gita compares the body to a dress and elaborately explains how one changes dresses one after another. The same Vedic knowledge is confirmed here. The living being, the soul, is constantly changing bodies one after another. Even in the present life, the body changes from childhood to boyhood, from boyhood to youth, and from youth to old age. Similarly, when the body is too old to continue, the living being gives up this body and by the laws of nature, automatically gets another body according to his fruitive activities, desires and ambitions. The laws of nature control this sequence. And therefore, as long as the living entity is under the control of the external material energy, the process of bodily change takes place automatically, according to one's fruitive activities. Vasudev therefore wanted to impress upon Kamsa that if he committed the sinful act of killing a woman, in his next life he would certainly get a material body, still more conditioned to the suffering of the material existence. Thus, Vasudev advised Kamsa not to commit sinful activities. One who commits sinful activities because of ignorance, tamoguna, obtains a lower body. Karanam guna sangasya sad asad yoni janmasu. Bhagavad Gita 13.22. There are hundreds and thousands of different species of life. Why are there higher and lower bodies? One receives these bodies according to the contamination of material nature. If in this life one is contaminated by the modes of ignorance and sinful activities, dushkriti, in the next life, by the laws of nature, one will certainly get a body full of suffering. The laws of nature are not subservient to the whimsical desires of the conditioned soul. Our endeavor, therefore, should be to associate always with the sattva guna and not indulge in rajo guna or tamo guna, rajas tamo bhavaha. Lusty desires and greed keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance and prevent him from being elevated to the platform of sattva guna or shuddha sattva guna. One is advised to be situated in Shuddha Sattva Guna, devotional service. For thus, one is immune to the reactions of the three modes of material nature. So this is the beginning of the advent of Lord Krishna. How Krishna creates excitement, which is flared with a lot of anxiety. Because both Vasudeva and Devaki, they are just going back to their place after getting married. And then suddenly they hear this voice. Rather, Kamsa hears the voice. And because he heard this voice, immediately natural reaction is self-defense. And whoever is causing that, from his point of view, it is Devaki one who is causing it. So therefore, he is trying to harm Devaki, forgetting the relationship of she being his sister. So this selfishness, what we see, that is the natural condition of the conditional living entity. As long as everything is nice, then one can be nice to others. when the situations are not favoring one's stability, one's material life, then suddenly even one's own, the example is given the monkey, when she is crossing the water body, if the monkey sees that, you know, it's about to die, then the same monkey which is protecting her baby will put the baby underneath and then jump over, try to save life. Survival of the fittest. If I can save and help others, just like in the airplane, they always say, first protect yourself, put the oxygen mask, then you put your children. They are teaching that selfishness only. First protect yourself, then you save others. So looks very natural because the world is made like that. The material world is made in such a way that one is forced to become selfish, that is material life. And therefore to practice spiritual life in material world, as Prabhupada once mentioned, that practicing Krishna consciousness in material world is extremely difficult. It is not very easy. If someone can do it by consistency, determination, utsad, nishchaya, dhairyad, you know, there has to be enthusiasm but patience. Without patience, enthusiasm, you know, it runs off its battery. Because utsaha is basically, inherently, is a mode of passion. Only utsaha. But if there is a patience, if it is flavored with patience, then one can prolong, continue to function for long time. Because when we begin in our spiritual life, it sounds very easy because it's new and fresh. Anything which is new and fresh, we can perform. But doing the same thing day in, day out, for many years, sometimes devotees share, oh, life was great when I was living in the ashram. They share their thoughts by being not in the ashram. That shows that the ashram life became very difficult for them to sustain. The strength is that one continues to live for the rest of his life practicing Krishna consciousness, but very difficult. If somebody does it, he's very great. Therefore, when we go back to spiritual world, it's so interesting how Krishna receives. How does Krishna receive the living entity? He receives with gratitude. It's our problem. We rebelled against him. We created troubles to ourselves and to the whole process of the relationship between God and living entity. And then when we go back, if a son is rectified and comes back to his home, the father is happy but is not grateful. He said, you learned your lesson, beta. Digra. You came back. Being changed. But here Krishna, when the living entity goes back, what kind of rebellion? At times the living entity rejects. At times the living entity neglects. At times the living entity, you know, has a conflict. At times the living entity argues with the Lord. Denies the existence of the Lord. Consciously, you know, creates an organization to defy God. But when he goes back to Godhead, you know, how does Lord receive? It's a very fascinating. So therefore, we see the great acharyas, when they see the conditioning of the living entity, they are not angry. It is not about diagnosing the problem. When we diagnose the problem without the solution, then we are simply cruel people. A medical doctor, when he diagnoses, he doesn't say there is no hope for you. He said, let us try. Even though he knows the trial, the efforts may not meet up to the expectation of maintaining the life. But the sympathetic doctor, along with diagnosing, he gives the medicine also. To identify the problem is a good thing. But along with identifying the problem, if I have no solution to give, the problem is not going to solve. That is the beauty of bhakti process. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when we read, Prabhupada talks about the, you know, one who suffers because of bad karma, legal implication, disease, and then not so good body, and then poverty. He is not talking about diagnosing the problem, but just before giving the solution, he explains why one suffers because of one's bad karma. And how do you know what is bad karma? These are the four things and all the details. But what is most important is that the solution is given. How to overcome? How to overcome this principle? So here, we see in Krishna Lila also, that to take part in Krishna Lila in the material world, is very very challenging. It is not very easy. Not everybody can handle this. Therefore, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami explains when all the Pandavas met with Narad Muni. Narad Muni was glorifying them as great devotees. And Pandava said, don't quote us as great devotees. It's not a good example. Nobody will become a Krishna's devotee. Because our life is what? Our life is full of unlimited challenges, difficulties and suffering. We are not good example of being great devotees. Why? Because nobody will come to Krishna. They will not take to Krishna consciousness very seriously because our life is full of suffering. Quote somebody else who had great life materially and also was a great devotee of Krishna. Then people will come. So Pandavas are being very sympathetic to, you know, people's difficulties. This is how Krishna also deals with. When Krishna deals with the difficulties of devotees, no, it is not about giving a philosophy. Philosophy without a platform where people are comfortable, philosophy doesn't work. Like when I was traveling back to Bombay, next to me there was, a drunkard. He was not sadhaka, he was a perfectionist in drinking. And when he came only I could realize, just like by characteristics, he could realize that I'm a Hare Krishna devotee and I could realize that he's a drunkard. Very clear, he was stinking, he had so much of foul smell in his mouth because he was eating continuously gutka. He came and sat next to me and he spoke about spirituality also. He said, I go to Srinath Ji, I go to Balaji, I go to Jagannath Puri. He said, sab jagah main jata hu. Man mein koi khota nahi hai. But he said, life is meant for sense gratification. I said, yes, no problem, you can enjoy. But I said, since you are sitting next to me, why not you follow 15 hours my lifestyle? Let us chant together. You forget your drinking, forget your eating, because he immediately removed. Just like I had a beat bag, he had his Baba Baba tobacco box and then, the gutka. He just kept it. First thing came out, removed his box and put it in the, inserting that cabin. That was very clear. He proved his identity. When I said, why not 15 hours, let us practice. When you're sitting next to me, he said, hey, come on, wait a minute. He said, don't tell me all that. He became in anxiety. He said, you like chanting, I like drinking. Very clear. But the lifestyle what he was leading, if you were Achyutanand Prabhu was there, he would faint. Huh? Because there is no discipline, there is no health consciousness. He drank 5 bottles of liquor. He was sitting next to me. He was arguing with the air hostess. He said, I want 5 bottles and plus 2 bottles of tomato juice and then 2 coffee instantly, everything together, and also is consuming some food. And then after doing that, for digestion he took almost a gutka, handful of, like we eat rice, he took that much of gutka. I said, wow, this man, he has no consideration of his body. I said, how can you handle this? We became quite open. I was kind of speaking to him very openly. He said, how can you do it? He said, dekho, sharir hai na, kya hai? After all, I will die, you will also die. Philosopher. The difference is, I traveled many places and you see Indians, you see Americans. That Americans, when they enjoy, they don't philosophize. They don't know anything. Therefore, it's very clear that we are enjoying. But when an Indian, one who has come from the pious background, when he enjoys, he can make his enjoyment into great philosophy. Like Kamsa eventually does, how he makes his philosophy based upon murdering the children of his sister. That is the danger when you have philosophy and sense gratification. That combination of philosophy and sense gratification is extremely dangerous. He said, look, you are also dying, I am also dying. Since there is no khota, either kuch khota nahi hai. In the heart there is no, dirt. I said, does your children and wife is happy? I said, I want to come to your home and talk to them. Well, let us work hard together to stop your bad habit. He said, anytime you come to my home, let us have kirtan. But about this one, you know, very clear. He said, I know, since I'm going to die, you are going to die. When I die, mukti is guaranteed. I said, yes, mukti is guaranteed. But what kind of mukti, I don't know, and you also don't know. Mukti is guaranteed, but what kind of mukti? So we see how there was no point in talking philosophy to him. Because philosophy does not go into his brain. The surrounding what he is living in, this philosophy what Prabhupada is talking here is so beautiful. You know, as yesterday Bhavananda was mentioning, you take out 2.13 Bhagavad Gita, the same thing. And you take out 10th canto Bhagavad Gita, the same thing. But it is not boring. It is coming out in a way where it is placed while Shukadeva Goswami is narrating the pastime of Krishna. There is the excitement of Krishna's pastime, but the excitement of Krishna's pastime does not make us lose our attention on the Vedantic philosophy. Because without the Vedantic philosophy, simply Krishna's pastime makes it entertainment without enlightenment. The entertainment is there, but the transformation of the heart is not there. Of course, however one listens to Krishna's pastime, there is some progress. But the law of the Vedanta philosophy is that whether you listen to Vedanta, whether you listen to pastime, the philosophy has to be there. You cannot avoid the philosophy. And the foundational philosophy is that we are not this material body, we are spirit soul. And the attachment to this body leads to suffering. But whom will you tell this? Unless somebody has the surrounding to understand this philosophy. Like one devotee was sharing, Prabhupada's disciple in the memory. Prabhupada was trying to preach to an American gentleman who was again addicted to drinking. So however much he tried to tell him, the philosophy did not make any sense to him. Prabhupada said, hopeless case. He said, give him some prasad. Therefore in the Chaitanya Charitamrita he explains that we discuss philosophy only with few people who can understand. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he travelled around the South India, the philosophy was only discussed with whom? You know, those who are philosophers, but who are talking wrong philosophy, you could discuss with them. But rest of the people, he just gave them chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Because if you give philosophy along with the chanting, then they'll make a mistake. I remember once I was giving a class on Sunday and I quoted one poet in South India who talks about the glories of the holy name. He says, when you chant the names of Krishna while sleeping, you know, the Lord listens by standing, by sitting. When you sit and chant, the Lord stands and listens. When you stand and chant, the Lord jumps and listens. When you dance and listen, then he comes and embraces you and takes you back to Godhead. And one of our devotee child heard this story. Next morning he went and he was lying and chanting. No? So his mother asked him, what are you doing like this? Chant properly. He said, the problem is if I sit, Krishna has to stand, you know. So very dangerous. Whom do you speak to philosophy? In what context you speak philosophy? And how people can use that philosophy? I said, my God, I never told this story for this reason. I never imagined that somebody will use for their own personal, you know, justification. This was to show how Krishna is so eager to reciprocate with the little efforts of a devotee. So I was thinking that you can't tell him anything. So therefore, he was living in his own world. I was living in my own world, even though we were sitting next to each other, because there was nothing compatible between him and me in regards to lifestyle. No, that he had a different lifestyle. Health-wise, how can somebody handle that? He had a full 3/4 of a glass filled with ice block, ice cubes. And he consumed it all with liquor and the tomato juice. And then 2 hot coffees, you know, a lot of sugar in that. And then he's eating the bread and jam and butter and then other things also. And then he takes handful of gutkha and he eats. Wish I had a video recording to shoot him. And show that how that he has no consciousness of what he's doing. Therefore, Prabhupada explains here Then when you talk to people about next birth, sometime in one place he said, when you deny the concept of reincarnation, I don't accept reincarnation exists, he's not being scientific, he's becoming animalistic. Because animals don't have the consciousness of future. Their activities are based upon simply the present impulsive. They perform their activities based on impetus. They don't think about the past. They don't think about the future. They can only live on the present existence. If you see the cow, you know, the cow will go to a shop and put its mouth in a grain. And the shopkeeper will beat. But the next day, the cow will do the same thing because it has no memory or the ability to go back. Oh, yesterday I was beaten here. And tomorrow again I will be beaten if I do it. So there is no such mentality. So Prabhupada explains, when you deny your future life, reincarnation, that shows depth of ignorance. How can you not accept? How is it possible? He gave the example when he was giving a lecture in 22nd Avenue. You know, the 22nd Avenue is right on the road. When you are sitting there, even the speakers, and you can see the vehicle, hear the sound of the vehicle. When the car passes by 22nd Avenue, it is not that a car was manufactured right in front of 2nd Avenue. That car had the, you know, the background of coming from somewhere else. And the car will go to some other place. It is not that the car's existence is over as it passes the 22nd Avenue. Is it as simple as that? There was a background before it came to 22nd Avenue, and there is a future. So similarly, your life is so arranged, it is so logical and so simple, but one cannot understand unless that platform is there. One cannot understand. Why one cannot understand? Because the mercy has not come, and that desire to understand is not there. The life is totally different. Therefore, Kamsa here, Vasudeva is speaking such a brilliant philosophy, but did not make any sense, because Sukadeva Goswami concludes after Vasudeva spoke to Kamsa, and he was not able to be successful in protecting his wife. All this philosophy didn't work. Why the philosophy didn't work, Sukadeva Goswami explained to Parikshit Maharaj, because he, that is Kamsa, never cared for the reaction of sinful activities. He did not care. And neither he had the faith. How could he have a faith unless there was some kind of inclination? The life was full of sinful activity. Not only sinful activity. It is okay to be sinful unless you are thinking, you know, like the difference, like the American kids and Indian kids. The American kids, they don't dream. They live life. The Indian kids dream of being in America. Therefore, there is a greater assumption of enjoyment. Their concept of enjoyment is much greater than what the reality is. Therefore, it is much more difficult to tell someone who is hoping, who is trying to, you know, understand, who is trying to, you know, facilitate himself to enjoy. Very difficult. The philosophy doesn't make any sense. Therefore, giving holy name and prasad is so important. And this man, sorry, I didn't complete the story only, Prabhupada's story. When he did not understand anything, Prabhupada gave him prasad. And he gave him the prasad gulab jamun. And the man was so, you know, he took that and he enjoyed it. He said, give me one more. And they gave him one more. He said, what will you do with this? He said, no, I'll go home and I'll put in my rum and drink it. I'll place my gulab jamun in the rum. And he said, my God, Prabhupada was so amused by the ignorance. He was amused by the ignorance. So here Kamsa also, you know, he cannot understand all this beautiful philosophy because the platform is not there. You have to tell something practical. Therefore, the beauty is, as Prabhupada also mentioned, when we preach Krishna consciousness, we need to do the needful to make people understand Krishna consciousness. If they don't understand the philosophy, give them prasad. Something, by some means, you create a favorable environment, a favorable surrounding for people to understand. And once it clicks, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. That concept, if it clicks somewhere, then the relief the living entity feels. That famous story, Badrinarayan Pu always mentions, during the Ratayatra in New York, when two ladies were walking in the question answer booth, when Jayadwaita Maharaj is doing his question answer. And these two ladies, they were like, huge, big sized lady. You can't call fat in America. Some devotee told me, hey, don't say fatter, that's offensive. You can call huge. I was telling the story, they corrected. I tell them, whenever we are speaking, if there is any offensive word, so please correct us. Like, another place. You call demigod? They said, don't call demigod. One devotee, the temple president said, don't call demigod. A lot of Hindus were there. They said, call devatas. Like when they introduce, every culture has a different word, which is some words are good and some words are offensive. So preacher has to be very careful what kind of word he uses. Why should we offend people for a small word and stop from making them understand? So these two big ladies, we can call big ladies. These big ladies came in and he was making a point. Jayadwaita Maharaj was making a point about, we are not this body. And we are spirit soul to some American young people. They are asking questions. And he banged on the table. We are not this body, we are spirit soul. And these two ladies, they heard this. First time in their life they heard it. And it made so much sense to them because all the time they are identifying with this body and feeling guilty. They're feeling so guilty when they heard that we are not this body. And he overheard. Jayadwaita Maharaj heard them say, what a relief. What a relief. So the point Badrinarayana was making that even such a small statement as this one, of course a profound statement, therefore Prabhupada uses this statement everywhere, we are not his body, was so profound that this small statement had the power to give them relief from the anxiety of burdening with their material body. What to speak of going higher and higher and coming to this understanding that we are eternal servant of Krishna. And our constitutional position, and that's how Lord Chaitanya began performing this explanation to Sanatan Goswami. The nature of living in it is to serve Krishna. That is its constitutional nature. And when he can connect himself to that constitutional nature, as long as we are not natural, bhakti can only be practiced when we live our normal life. Then there is natural flow of Krishna consciousness. And if you see how material world is created, that you are forced to live unnatural life. You are forced to live unnatural life. There is a combination of limitless anxiety and unwanted excitement. When there is two combination of unwanted excitement and anxiety, then you are not normal. And when there is no normalcy, it is extremely difficult to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Like there is a big discussion going on in the Western world. Can people chant 16 rounds for the rest of life? Is it possible? That's a discussion now. It is okay to chant 16 rounds when you are young, new, in bhakti. As long as you are not taken diksha, it's easy. Because the excitement is there, I'm going to be initiated. When you get diksha, when you take the mala, till you take the mala, excitement is there. Once the mala comes in your hand, you are part of the same crowd. The life becomes the same. Then that relative touch of chanting 16 rounds is gone. I will be initiated, therefore I chant. I'll get a new name, therefore I chant. Once you get the name, when the mala comes, when you go back, the life becomes so normal that to maintain that consistency to chant 16 rounds, day in, day out. Like one devotee was telling me, holding his mala, he said, you know what? It takes 4 hours for me to chant 4 rounds. I am so diseased. He started crying that I am not able to chant 16 rounds. It takes 4 hours to chant 4 rounds. So that is a discussion. Can people chant 16 rounds for the rest of their life? Is it possible? Can it be practical? Now when 40 years back when Prabhupada gave the devotee 16 rounds, he started with 64, and 64 was impossible, 32 was impossible, 16, they said yes. Maybe if they would look back, they would have said that also impossible, if you see the present generation. So therefore, we see how challenging because of the surrounding. The surrounding is full of anxiety and excitement. You'll see children very excited, hyperactive, and at the same time, when they go into the depressive mode, is very difficult to understand. There is no consistency of lifestyle. There is extreme degree of inconsistency. When somebody goes into that kind of mood swing, Kamsa is the best representation. What an excitement. When he's wanting to do everything for his sister, holding the chariot, he's driving, I will take you. And there is so much of happiness. Therefore it is said that the brahmachari should not go to married life, because there is so much of hyperactivity going on. There is bubbling of activities. And then once the marriage is done, the life of responsibility begins. That is a difficult one to handle. So Kamsa was so excited, but once he heard the news of his imminent departure, suddenly, he couldn't take it. He became so much in anxiety, but the problem was his anxiety was flavored with limitless power. So his thinking was that I can handle it, I can avoid it by killing Devaki. The problem is solved, the solution is achieved. So how can you talk philosophy to someone who is sandwiched between excitement and anxiety? Very difficult. Therefore it is an important principle how Varnashram is. Varnashram is the platform where you try to create a good surrounding. When there is a Varnashram, when there is a consistency of behavior caused by proper community, then chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra becomes very easy. And once we chant Hare Krishna in that community surrounding, then maybe one day we will be conditioned to chant, whether we are here or we are not here, based upon a different situation. So I am able to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, not because of my own conviction. It is because the flow of chanting is happening here. Hundreds of devotees, because of their good surrounding, they are able to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hell or high water, whether difficulties or no difficulties, the chanting of 16 rounds will happen. So when hundreds of devotees are chanting like that, when you sit surrounded by such devotees, you don't realize that you are also chanting. It is not your strength. And once you get out of that condition and find your own condition, which is not suitable for chanting, then you realize, my God, it's like a mountainous task. It is so difficult, just like when we went to our Ahobilam Kshetra. The euphoria of climbing the mountain was so great, even the 75-year-old ladies, 80-year-old men were able to walk up. But when only 3-4 devotees go, recently some devotees, 4, those who go to gym every day, they went up there in the mountain. And they were so scared. Prabhuji, it was so scary. I said, I didn't realize it was scary. Because I was with 300 other devotees, 150, 200 young people were there. So they were making you walk up without any trouble. So similarly, chanting is also like that. Or practicing Krishna consciousness is also like that. When there is a powerful association of devotees, there is a strong association of devotees, then it's easier. Yes, philosophically, whether there is association or there is no association, one should chant. But generally for most number of people, it is not so easy. Very few rare souls can execute, like Prabhupada told one of his disciples, he said, I and Bhaktivinoda Thakur could do it, staying outside, beyond the association of devotees. He wrote to one devotee, he said, not everybody can do it. Why don't you stay in the association of devotees and learn to practice your Krishna consciousness? He wrote like that. I and Bhaktivinoda Thakur could do it. Stay outside and never miss chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So therefore, whatever Vasudeva is speaking to Kamsa, in one sense, it is no value, because Kamsa is not ready to listen. But at the same time, because this knowledge is a transcendental knowledge, it is never a loss. When a preacher preaches Krishna consciousness, it is not a loss, because it creates an impression And slowly, slowly, when that platform is achieved, whether by his own desire or the surrounding gives him that, then the philosophy which he had heard many years back will come to his aid and bring him back to his constitutional position of being the servant of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, Braj Bihari.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, that point you made was very clear about how in an ideal varnashram and there is consistency in behavior and we can chant properly. The one point you mentioned about excitement and anxiety, I just wanted to ask you this doubt I had for some time. That Srila Prabhupada encouraged devotees to take anxiety for his mission, and there are many pastimes which confirm this. And devotees who take a lot of anxiety, and he said when we take this anxiety and depend on Lord Chaitanya, we get a lot of mercy. And I know that what you said also makes a lot of sense. I'm just trying to reconcile because I want to know what is natural anxiety for a brahmachari, for sadhaka, and what is unnatural anxiety, and how can we ensure that we don't become irresponsible by trying to not take unnatural anxiety. That is my main concern.
Again, we have to see the different nature. I think Devamrita Maharaj writes in his book, there is an individual need and there is a need of the organization. When we bring that in a balancing way, the leader's responsibility, the responsibility of the society is to fulfill the needs of a devotee. And the individual's responsibility is to fulfill the needs of the institution. You know, just like when Krishna, when we talk about bhakti, in bhakti, when we say how Krishna is kind, even though Krishna killed demon and demon gets perfection. So if a demon can get perfection, then what is the point? One may say, what is the point in performing devotional service? There is no need. You remain a demon and you get killed. You defy Krishna. That is not bhakti. Getting liberation is not the sign of devotee. The definition of a devotee, therefore, in a Prabodhananda Saraswati and Rupa Goswami, they say, Kaivalyam Narakayate. Mukti is hellish. Bhagavatam explains, Kapil Muni explains, a devotee will not accept mukti even though Krishna is willing to offer. Why? Because the very concept of bhakti is that reciprocation. If you see, bhakti means you only talk about what the devotee is supposed to do, what the devotee is supposed to do, what the devotee is supposed to do, then it is not bhakti. That is mafia. But here, bhakti means Krishna also has his dharma. And what's his dharma? Does Krishna have dharma? Yes, his dharma is protection of his devotee. Therefore, Pandavas blessed Krishna. My dear Lord, let you always go on protecting its devotees. This was after the episode of Akshay Patra. You know, Draupadi was saved by, Pandavas are saved by Durvas Muni's curse. They bless Krishna that let your work of protecting devotees continue. So when you are only aspiring, okay, you know, we don't need to do anything, Krishna will give you liberation, that is not bhakti. It is so mundane stuff. But what can you offer to Krishna? Both ways. Bhakti means Krishna conquers devotee, and devotee conquers Krishna. How do they conquer? You know, Prahlad Maharaj told to Lord Narsingdev. It's a beautiful conversation between Prahlad and Narsingh. Narsingh wanted to offer all benediction to Prahlad. And Prahlad says, I don't want any benediction. My relationship between you is that you are my master, I am your servant. There is no other relationship between me and me. So therefore, if you only talk about what you are supposed to do, what you are supposed to do, and someone who is guiding you, you know, one who is your leader, and he is not doing what he is supposed to do, then you can't survive. Most people cannot handle the concept of take challenges. And to take challenge, there is no reciprocation. It's a good philosophy, but not easy to implement. Not practicable. And we have seen, when that facility is not there, no one can talk about how many brahmacharis were there. 150 brahmacharis. One bathroom and one toilet. Where are they now? Good story to hear because you are not there anymore. And why they left in the first place, it was so exciting. If anything is exciting, why there is not consistency? The definition of bhakti is that ahituki apratiyata. It is never stops. You do it for rest of your life. You don't say, I did it, it was great, but I'm not doing it. So that very place where you are talking about was exciting, caused you anxiety, therefore you walked out. You snapped it out. So therefore, it's both ways. You take anxiety on behalf of Krishna, and Krishna takes anxiety on behalf of his devotee. When that is seen, that is the completeness of bhakti. When Arjuna took that promise that I will kill Jayadrath within the sunset, it's so beautiful. Krishna said, how can you take this? Arjuna said, you know, because I depend upon you. You know? So it became Krishna's anxiety to fulfill Arjuna's promise. And it is not that Arjuna was sleeping nicely. Of course, he slept nicely because he was convinced Krishna will do. But the efforts were there from Arjuna's side also. So as far as my understanding goes, you know, you take anxiety. But the other party also, one who is giving you anxiety for higher service, should also know how much you can handle, how much you cannot handle. And based upon that, he should try to make... I remember one time during our Sunday festival, the fan had broken. And one devotee said, Maharaj, what do they need? People will come, let them perform some austerity. Maharaj said, that is not your outlook. Your responsibility is to create facility for people to be comfortable to hear Krishna Katha. He said, you don't impose austerity artificially. That is up to them. You have your duties. You perform your duties. And they have their duties. Let them perform your duties. What is your duty as a temple devotee? Your duty is to create a nice environment for people to practice. Don't put them into an artificial anxiety and expect, oh, this will give them facility to surrender to Krishna. As a representative of Guru and Krishna, your duty is to give that shelter. And when they receive that shelter, you know, they will do their duty of taking risk for Krishna. So it is not one-sided. You cannot convince anybody about taking anxiety without giving that shelter. Like recently one devotee asked me, he said he was listening to one of his guru's lecture. And he was going through a lot of difficulties in his physical life. When he heard that lecture, he felt, Prabhuji, you know, I need to confess that I felt that my guru is not being practical, I mean, giving advice. One lady asked, she was a cancer patient. I said, that's a problem because you're listening to lecture what was given to somewhere else, you know, and then what context is speaking. He must have given so much of time to her. One was suffering from cancer and speaking philosophy to her based on that kindness and courtesy. You know, she could take it, you could not take it because you are in a different situation. He is not being harsh or cruel. You know, he is speaking philosophy based upon giving that comfort. So when that comfort is given, then you can practice philosophy. So it's both. You know, you take your responsibility and let others, one who is giving. And that's how Krishna deals. Krishna does his job so nicely. And then it's detached. Arjuna etichasi tatakuru. Then it becomes Arjuna's responsibility to reciprocate. Otherwise, we are not here for getting free. The nature of conditions always give as less as possible. Jitna free sample collect kar sakte ho, utna karo. Let the free sample become our sustenance. 20-20 gram ka agar 50 packet mil gaya, to us mahina chal gaya na. That is not, you don't take that one and use, oh, this free sample is, this is what I have to make my life. Depend on free sample. Our tendency is to give as less as possible and expect more and more. Therefore, this fascinates. Wow, amazing, better than demigod. Krishna can offer so much. Putana can, why not become Putana and achieve perfection? That is not bhakti. Here, Uddhava is not glorifying Putana, he is glorifying Krishna. So if you want to glorify devotional service, then there has to be, you know, the mood of a devotee and the reciprocation of Krishna. He is causelessly kind and devotee is causelessly having a service attitude. Dono bhi hona chahiye. Otherwise, you know, you'll see what happens. And then that is, most people cannot handle anxiety without shelter. A son, it's a two-way thing. It's not one way. Gopinath, you want to add something? Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. Shri Granthara, Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.